everybody, what's going on? Welcome back to my YouTube channel, the Rising Legends Tabletop Gaming Channel. And my name is Ian Walker, and I will be doing a live play of my prototype or playtest version of the Rising Legends tabletop role-playing game, or in this case, Legends. Last week, I did a video kind of going through an overview of my system and what it's about, as well as we rolled up a new character by the name of Benur, who is a level one human warrior. So this week, I wanted to go ahead and start an adventure and do a live playtest here. So before I get started, I wanted to say thank you to all those who took a look at the last week, at the last video, and who kind of rode with me all the way through that. I know that was a bit long-winded, but I thought it was pretty necessary to kind of explain everything about the system. So I appreciate you for sticking around on that. If this is your first time here to the channel, go ahead and check out that video there. I'm going to put the card or link up here somewhere so that you guys can go check out that video before you take a dive into this video here this week. Again, it is a few days later that I am making the post about this tabletop game, doing the live play. Things are happening, family stuff, so had to have that taken care of. But here we are, we're ready to go today. So what we're going to do is we're going to, again, yesterday I kind of mentioned quickly, I use a book. It's a good idea to have a few tables and things to kind of guide you. I use a book here called Untold Encounters of the Random Kind. It's a wonderful book. It's 5e compatible, but the missions and stuff here are actually system agnostic, so you can use them for anything. So what I did was, I'm going to now generate an adventure, and we're going to have Benur be a part of that as we speak. So we're going to go ahead and jump right in. Again, if you guys like what you're seeing on the channel and you guys want to see more as this develops, please be sure to hit the follow, subscribe button, notification bell, all that YouTube algorithm stuff that I'm supposed to say to get you guys to follow. And I hope you guys will enjoy what's going on. How I'm going to be playing today is mostly going to be Theater of the Mind. And again, it's I'm going to be playing the game and explaining the mechanics as I go along. So please bear with me. And if you know you have any questions, make sure you leave them in the comments below. Or if you have any other questions, just feel free to contact me however you wish, okay? Always be respectful, but yeah, please feel free to do so, okay? So I'm going to take the 2d10 right now. All you'll need to play is your role-playing journal, which I have a brand new one right here. I have the Rising Legends booklet, the character sheet of Benur, and then I have my polyhedral dice here that you see here across the top there. And that's all you'll need to get started. You'll just have these seven polyhedral dice here that you could use as you're playing the game to help you get along here. Now, what Rising Legends uses a lot of, as you'll see, is you see the 2d10 or d100 dice, and you're going to see me use a lot of the 20-sided dice. And then on occasion, depending on what kind of weapons are being fired, what kind of things of that nature, you'll see the other dice being rolled. But you see, the 20-sided dice is going to mostly be used for checks, your complexity scores, and all of that. And then the percentage dice here, or the D100 here, are going to be used as the arbiter for the oracle, or for any other things that I may come across as far as tables are concerned, and things like that. So it's kind of like the dice oracle of Rising Legends. Now that's the majority of how Rising Legends is run. I'm going to try to do as less glancing at tables as possible, and trying to figure things out. If you have a pretty decent imagination, you can use these D100s, come up with the answer, come up with something from the top of the mind, and all of that. If you find yourself kind of wanting to cheat or whatever, you come up with something in your mind or whatever the case may be, make sure you take a pause as a solo player. Allow it to happen by means of allowing that thought that you have to be an option, okay? And make your decision using these D100. These are going to be very valuable in your solo play here in Rising Legends and any other solo game that you play along with this here, okay? All right, so right now I'm going to take the D100 and we're going to roll here. So I have a 79% here, and I rolled the wrong dice. I don't know why I rolled a D100, but hey, now you know I like to roll D100. All right, so this turned out to be a 4, okay? All right, so criminal business. The character could be on either side of the law dealing with a turf dispute or other large-scale criminal activity, okay? So in this case, what I could do is I could actually have Benur be a part of this. Be a part of the situation here. So we know something is going on with criminal business. So who is the one that actually asks him to be a part of this? Again, we rolled a 4. So it's a representative of a guild. So Benur is being asked to, from a guild, to get entry into the guild is one of an initiation, kind of like an initiation test, if you will. And in order for him to get into this guild, he's going to need to accept one of the missions here for this, okay? And then, as we continue going forward, we're going to roll another D20 here. And that ended up being rolling a 5 here. All right. So what they're thinking is happening is that another rival guild, pretty much a thieves guild or an assassins guild, I'm going to make it an assassins guild, is going to be the reason for everything going on. So right here, I'm going to go ahead and start. So episode 1, Rising Legends. TTRPG. Session 1. Okay. All right. And I'm going to do episode 1. And I'm going to title this The Initiate. So we've got a lot of details already. So when it comes to your journal writing, my advice to you guys would be, I do bullet points. Bullet points are very quick and easy. You're not spending a whole bunch of time writing in a bunch of information. So Benur is an initiate. Of a warrior's guild, and to get entry, he must to solve an issue with a rival assassin's guild. So I can go back in later and figure out what that name is. So I'm going to play it as if Benur does not know who this Assassin's Guild is or which one it is. Okay. So that's so that's what we've got going on here. Okay. All right. So Benur reaches and approaches the gentleman here who is a part of the guild master of the Warriors Guild. We're going to give the guild master name here. We're going to give him the name Shane Goldhair. Shane Goldair. Okay, leader. Guild. And you know what? We're going to make Shane a paladin. Who? Or actually not paladin. We're going to make him a Jedi. In Rising Legends, my characters have Jedis in this game, which is a take on the Jedi, but he's a Jedi warrior. Okay. So he's going to give him the entry or the mission here. So what's happening here is, let's see, so we have some options as far as, you know, what could be going on, okay? Okay. So what they're doing is, we're going to roll another d20 again. On here, I got a 9. So a pair of rogue antagonists are aiming to steal some items from the characters, from some characters here within the Warriors Guild. So they got some information that some rogue assassins are going to try to get some information from the Warriors Guild. That information is going to allow them to carry out a mission to assassinate someone of high importance on Terra Lauren. So we're going to do that. So what could this piece of information be? Something simple as where the antagonist or where the target lives. So the guild, Assassin's Guild. Wants to obtain. Place of residence. Find target and assassinate. All right, so Benur was not told who this target is for their safety. They were given information, though, to do that. So Benur is being tasked to go to this target's aid and protect them. And to guard their home from being attacked. So they got the tip some weeks back. And now it's come upon the time for them to carry out that attack. So Benur goes ahead and accepts the mission. He goes ahead and accepts the mission and takes off towards the target's home. Now, I have a question in mind if there is any kind of events going on in the city. According to the Oracle, this is 65%, so there's a no. So there's no hoopla going on in the city right now. He walks through the city, town, everything goes on as normal. And he finally, after a couple of minutes, about half hour or so, he makes it to the target's house. He knocks on the door, and a little girl comes to the door, actually. And upon opening the door, the girl looks familiar. I want to know if Benur knows the little girl or is familiar with who the little girl is. So what I want to do is for definite yes on the table here in Rising Legends, we're going to use the table here on page 14 as a part of that. Oracle, 1 to 45 is a yes, most definitely. 46 to 55 is maybe. 56 to 100 is no, not at all. That may be expanded later on, but right now we're going to go there. So 45 or under, he recognizes them. And if he rolls, and if I roll 56% or over, Baynor does not know the child. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and make that roll here. 32%. So definitely Baynor knows this little girl. And he recognizes this little girl as being the daughter of the town dignitary. Okay. We're going to name her. I'm going to give her the name Megan. Megan Arleason. And Megan Arleason, little girl's name. We're going to make the little girl's name Erica. So little Erica comes to the door. It's like, hi, how are you? And he looks down and he kind of kneels down really quick. And, you know, that's the little girl. She looks at him. She doesn't know him at all, actually. She's a little girl. She doesn't involve herself in grown-up business. And so he kneels down. He asks, hi, my name is Baynor. How are you? She goes, I'm fine. And this is good, good. Is your mother home? She's like, yeah, mommy's in the back. So she scurries off and she goes and he waits outside for a bit. And during this time, he is kind of scoping out the place. Baynor kind of understands that now his job has just begun at this very moment, okay? What he's sent here to do is protect, and so he kind of stands guard this place now. So what he's going to do right now is he's going to use... first off, we're going to see if there's anyone out there. So, again, in Rising Legends, I have an idea in my brain to see if is there anyone out and about, maybe watching the home, or someone that's weird, maybe someone that followed Baynor. So we're going to roll that first. 64%. So according to the Oracle on page 14, that's going to be a solid no. Okay. So if there was a yes, there would have been another check that would have had to been done to see if Baynor himself would have recognized that. Okay. But since there's no one out here, that's not something we got to worry about. So a few moments later, Megan Arleson comes to the door and she looks at the gentleman's like, how may I help you? He goes, hello. Hello, Miss Arleson. I've been sent here by the local Warriors Guild to on assignment here. And she kind of looks around and she kind of glances at him up and down. He's a huge, tall. She's looking at a man who's very tall in build. He's about 6'3", weighs about 240 pounds, in heavy plate armor or heavy armor, kind of combination of leather and plate, you know, kind of a mixture of the two, with a long sword on his side, and just kind of in a lot of bags, like little pouches and things, that he has in all of his gear. And she kind of looks him up and down really quick and kind of ushers him in. It's like, come on in, come on. And she closes the door behind her. And so she lets Baynor know, you know, it's been a week since I've made this request. What's happened? Why has it taken so long? You're so fortunate that I'm not dead already. And Baynor apologizes. He goes, I apologize for the delay. The Warriors Guild just wanted to make sure that all this information was accurate and correct before we took on the assignment. And they had someone right to do the job. She looks at him and is like, oh, you're the right man for the job? She goes, yes, I am. So she's like, okay, well, your job pretty much here is not to ask any more questions. I'm going to only tell you what you need to know. And you're only going to do what you asked. Do as you're asked. Make sure that you protect me and protect my daughter. There's nothing else you need to do or nothing else you need to know. Do you understand? And Baynor simply nods appropriately. This is all. You may need to stay here overnight. You can stay here out on the couch, and my daughter and I will sleep in the other room. So about this time, it's about mid-afternoon. Baynor kind of gets those bigger pouches off of him. He starts peeling off his regular armor. And looking outside, you know, sun is setting. Not a lot of hustle and bustle is going on again. Everything seems pretty secure. About 30 minutes later, the smell of dinner starts wafting through the house. She's made Miss Arlison has made a stew or soup or something, and she invites them to dinner and all of that. And she continues on, and they eat, they have a good time, and they are just fine. So after that, Megan takes Erica, picks her up. All right, time to go to bed. So they have her doing their whole routine. And Baynor decides to go outside. So Baynor steps outside, and he begins to do a patrol of the perimeter. So we're going to do another D100 roll to see if there's anyone outside in the area. We ran into a 24. So there is someone outside in the area. So again, in Rising Legends, 24, saying that there's someone outside does not necessarily mean that Baynor knows. As yourself, GM, and you as a solo person, you know that there is that there's someone there, but your character does not. So at this point, because Baynor is doing a perimeter sweep around, he's going to make a roll. Now, in this aspect here of Rising Legends, again, we have our major skills, which is durability, cognition, physicality, and talent, okay? In 5E, your intelligence, your wisdom are the two skills that would end up in Rising Legends here, make up the cognition here, okay? So what that'll be is a cognition check of some sort, okay? So what we're going to do, since this is that, before we make the check, we want to see what the complexity, we're going to roll a complexity score, okay? Being first level, your complexity dice is going to be a 1d4, okay? Again, your complexity scores are in multiples of 3. So for every 1 point in complexity, that's 3 points, all right? So a 1 on the 1d4 is 3. 2 is a 6, 3 is a 9, 4 is a 12, so on and so forth, okay? These will go up, your complexity dice will improve or get bigger as you level, okay? So 1 through 3, you're using 1d4, okay? So what I'm going to do, and again, for the sake of the adventure here and kind of demonstrating the system, again, we know that I want to make a cognition check, okay? So what we'll do first is we're going to roll the dice here. The 1d4, we landed on a 4. Okay. So with that being said, 3, 6, 9, and 12. So the score that I need to roll in order for Baynor to recognize that there is someone out there, it needs to be a 12 or higher. Now, I could go ahead and roll the 12 here. Okay. But again, for the sake of the show tonight and for instructions to show you how the system works, I'm going to go ahead and utilize the pool here. So the points here, as you see here, so cognition, there's a 9 here. That's not the number of what it is. What the 9 is the number of points available to use to improve the rolls. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a dot here. You can use tallies, you can use it whatever you want. But I'm going to put a dot here. Okay, so I've used 1 point so far. And I'm going to use that one cognition point Okay, since it is a cognition point, you can only use that cognition. You can't use the pool from anywhere else unless you have skills that say otherwise. Okay, so instead of being a 12, that now goes down to an 11. So let's go ahead and roll. And right here, I'm going to try to roll a 11 or higher. All right. Solid 19. All right. So that's a definite look, a successful roll here. So being that he rolled a 19, Bainur looks around and is kind of patrolling. And as he goes around towards the back of the house, he notices something rustling off into the bushes. And I'm going to roll a 1d4 to find out how many he sees. I rolled a 2 with the 1d4. So he notices two people in the bushes kind of watching the house. Okay. So he finally stops in his tracks and he looks around. And he slowly starts to unsheath his sword. And now he's going to go ahead and get into battle here. Okay. So he kind of, he hears it. He immediately says, "I know why you're here. Show yourselves." And so out of the bushes and out of the shadows, these two figures come walking out and meet him. And one of them immediately says, "You don't know what you're digging your heels into right now, sir. Advice is to leave the dignitary alone and let us handle it and take care of it. He's all over my dead body." And he unsheathes his sword. Now, seeing that Bainur has his skills here, he has hyper reflexes. So with hyper reflexes, that means he's always, always going to go first in initiative order because he immediately reacts. Now, generally how that would work, though, is that you would roll 2d20. One dice would represent you, the character, which is your original. And then two dice, however many enemies you have another two dice here. I have multiples, but in your case, you're going to want to roll, if you just have one 1d20, you'll roll first for yourself, okay? And then you'll roll against the others. And what you're trying to do is you want to beat, your roll needs to be higher than your opponent's rolls, okay? That will set up initiative order, that will set that up with the number... The order of the numbers from highest to lowest decides initiative order, okay? But in this case, because Bainur has hyper reflexes, he's always going to go first in battle, okay? So that's a huge advantage for being a warrior in this case. So he goes ahead and he starts to hit. Now, again, we're going to do the same exact thing here. So against one of the guys here. So on the first round, his actions are 1, 2. So during the first round, he could do one action. The second round, he can do two actions. Okay. So he's already taken out his sword at the ready. All right. And so he's already standing at the ready and they've made themselves known. So what Bainur is going to do, he's going to move half and he's going to do an attack on them. So we're gonna do, I'm gonna just do one dice. We're gonna roll twice. Okay, so a 17. Now, in order for the attack to hit, the opponent needs to roll lower. So it's gonna be who has the highest roll. Bainur rolled a 17. The second roll was a 5 from the enemy. So Bainur attacks and hits. Okay. So he attacks and hits. He has a long sword, so he's going to do 4 damage to that long sword and roll an additional 1d6. So 1d6 plus 1 is, 1d6 plus 4 is 5 points of damage to the assassin. Okay. So, all right, so 5 points there. So since he has only one action, that's it. So now the other enemies now goes ahead and rolls. So now the first one, since it's their turn, they roll force. Ooh, a natural 20. So now in solo play, tie always goes to you, the solo player. Okay. This guy rolled a natural 20. He hit Baynor hard. So in order to do that, he needs to roll a natural, and I just rolled a natural 1. How terrible is that? Okay. So 20s are super duper important here. So immediately when you roll a natural 20, okay, you have, and I'm going to find it here in the book, so that you can see it. D20s. All right. So on page 22 here at the bottom, okay? So roll of a 1 or 5 is an automatic fail or miss against the opponent. Okay. And because he rolled a 1, because Baynor rolled a 1, he gets an automatic extra point of damage to take. Okay. So the opponent rolled a natural 20. Okay. So they're going to do max damage times 2. Okay. So they have daggers. So that is their, hit their daggers are going to do 3 points damage. So max damage times 2. So 3 times 2, he does 6 points of damage to Baynor. Now Baynor has heavy armor. Okay. And because of that heavy armor, we're going to take away 3 points from that. Thank goodness, because that would have been kind of janky. So again, on your character sheet, you're going to, again, I'm going to do dots because it's easier to track. So he has 3 dots here. So he's down to 19 hit points here. Okay. So now again, the second guy is going to attack Baynor again. And he rolled a 6. And Baynor rolls a 16. So his is higher. So he misses Baynor. Misses that strike there. Okay. So now we're back to top of the round here. And now, since it's the second round, Baynor can now do 2 actions. Okay. So what he's going to do now is he's going to roll a 17 and a 2. Again, automatic fail. Rolls of 1 through 5 is an automatic fail, okay, against the opponent. So they hit, okay. So he makes that hit. We're going to do again the 3 plus the 1d6, or 4 plus 1d6. So 4 plus 4 is 8 points of damage to the first guy. 8, and the first one is immediately knocked down. First swipe, Baynor comes out with his long sword, turns around, does a backward parry, and slices the guy down. The second one comes up to try to hit. I'm gonna go ahead and start rolling the 2 here. Again, this one being Baynor, the second one being this guy here. So Baynor rolls a natural 20 with 5 points of damage. Or with a 5 here, which is an auto fail. So being a natural 20, he automatically gets an extra point of damage. So we're going to add 1 to that 4, which is 5. We're going to roll. So it's max damage, actually, times 2, since it's a natural 20, right? So max damage is 6 times plus 4 is 10 times 2 is 20 plus 2. Plus 1 is 21 points of damage. He turns around and he slices the crap out of those dudes, both of them. Easy work. Easy work. And he takes them down, no problem. I know me doing this here top-down view Yeah, we're playing Theater of the Mind, so I'm doing the best I can trying to describe everything that's going on. But as time goes on and as I progress the channel further, what I'm going to start doing is having like a little map here so that you guys can see what's going on. And that way, hopefully it'll be a little bit better for that. So again, thank you for bearing with me through this whole thing here. All right. So he takes them both down and immediately these guys are taken out. No problem. So Ben-Hur turns around and he turns and runs back. But as soon as he runs back, he hears something. It's kind of like a sizzling sound. And as he turns around, he sees the bodies start to sizzle. And their bodies are decaying immediately into the ground. And the only thing that you see left is their leather armor, which is also now beginning to become corroded and fizzing away. And as you see, the ooze is kind of moving a bit. And what you can see is kind of the nanites kind of, you know, moving around and also corroding along with the body there, which is interesting. He kind of, Ben-Hur kind of looks and wonders. So immediately Ben-Hur runs back inside. He storms through the door with back to the dignitary here with Miss Arlison. And she was reading a story, and all of a sudden you see them both in the bed together. And they're both a little startled and scared because they heard, obviously, what was going on outside. She's immediately like, what's going on? He tells him, he goes, it's not safe here. I need to get you guys out of here right now. We need to go to the safe house. It's like a safe house where I can't leave any here. We're leaving now. He starts going through the room, packing to getting one of the bags that he sees on the ground. He starts shoving clothes inside and everything like that. And goes out and goes, here, take this. Meet me in the front room. And he's going to go ahead and make another check just to see if there's anyone else around. And with that 37%, he sees that somebody else is around as he looks, kind of takes a glance out the window, which looks, well, actually, he doesn't see it. We're going to see if there's someone around. There is someone around, but we're going to see if he sees it. And with his, with that cognition, he's going to say, I'm doing it wrong because I'm moving too fast. See, I already know the system, so I already know what I want to do. But I need to roll it for you guys so that you guys can see. So 4, with that 12. So we know 4 times 3 is 12. So that complexity score is a 4 to see if Ben-Hur notices the person out in the front. So again, I want to make sure that he sees it, because right now Ben-Hur is on high alert. So I'm going to go ahead and use another cognition point from the pool here. Okay, bring that down to an 11. So Ben-Hur needs to roll an 11 or higher. This landed on a 13. All right, so he definitely does see who's outside, and he kind of eyes the person as he sees him kind of headed towards the front door, and he dashes inside, and the person he sees is kind of running through the door, bum rushing them into the front room. Ben-Hur runs out in response immediately, meets them out front and inside as soon as he gets in out into the front room, the door busts open. Ben-Hur already has his sword out. So he's going to go toe-to-toe this gentleman here, rolling the dice for the both of them here. Ben-Hur has a 15. My dude over here rolled a 1. So as soon as he comes out, so again, auto fail on a 1 through 5 for the opponent. And Ben-Hur rolls a 13. As soon as he runs out, he sees it. And as soon as he comes into the door, busts through the front door, Ben-Hur comes through the side and intercepts him with the sidekick to the chest. Bam! Knocking him up against the banister. Doing a front kick. He's going to take 6 points of damage. That guy. So 6 points of damage. there. Very powerful kick, because that combined with going into the side of the wall there, and now they both are going to be stirred in battle there. So now the villain is going to try to attack Beinor. Natural 20. Beinor needs to roll. And he rolled a 3. He totally misses. So this guy comes in and he does 2 swings at Beinor. One of them hits. Hits Beinor. And he does... This guy actually has a sword. So he's going to actually do 4 plus 1, which is 5 points of damage to Beinor. Plus 1. So, I'm messing up again. See, I'm going through this in my head. He has a long sword too, so it's actually 10 points of damage. Times 2 is 20. With that 20, and the additional 1 point, that's 21 points of damage, okay? So, 21 points of damage minus that 3. So, that knocks that down to 19 points of damage that he hits Beinor with. Automatically, and he comes in and he pretty much just hits him just in the right spot for him to get knocked down, and he looks up, and actually that let me see, he took 3 hit points already from the last battle, didn't get a chance to get up, so that was exactly what he needed to knock Beinor down to his knees. And so he looks up. He's got the sword sticking out of him. He's like, run to the girls. And the mother grabs her little girl. And they bolt straight out through the door. The assassin, seeing what's going on, looks. And he chases after them. Beinor is going to try to now get up and chase after the assassin. And try to block his path. What I want to do is use... I'm going to use my physicality. What I want to do is I want to use my martial arts skills, which gives me a plus 2. So that's automatically going to help my complexity score. I'm going to use a point out of my physicality pool. So I'm going to use that. That's 3. I'm going to use a point of endeavor, which is 1. Okay, so far that's 4 points that are going to be decreased from my deal here. So now, since this is already a difficult situation and kind of Beinor is down for the count, it's like a last desperate move. I'm going to have this complexity score be automatically a 4. Okay, at the highest level for this level. So 12 minus 4. Is going to be 8. Okay. So he needs to roll an 8. In order to chuck his dagger. What he's going to do is going to chuck his sword. To make sure that edge of it hits the door. And has enough force and momentum to shut the door. She ran out the door and kind of shut the door behind her. But you know how sometimes it'll hit. And it'll, you won't latch. But it'll open and close and open up. There's a little bit left. So we need to hit an 8 or higher, and we do not meet that roll. Oh my goodness. So he chucks it, and without doing that, he's down. Actually, what I'm going to do, so now here's a mechanic that you can use here. So if you see here, you have something called SFX or special effects, and have 1. This is an extremely desperate situation. You can use this in Rising Legends to do a reroll or to do something crazy out of the ordinary. Okay. Beinor is down. The dude is dying. Okay. And he has to save these girls from being chased after. So in this sense, what Beinor is going to do, I'm going to use my special effect here. Okay. And Beinor's going to get up as the other guy is grabbing. And I don't need to roll for this. The special effects here allow me to do this with free reign. He's going to get up. And he's going to muster up all of his strength. Get up and grapple the guy. Grab him and tackle him down to the ground. And he turns, and at the same time while doing so, he shuts the door and then lurches themselves down to the ground to now where they're both, you know, rolling around on the ground, tackling each other. Okay. So now the dignitary's daughter are long gone. She's long gone. And, so now, again, they're still fighting. Again, so now I'm going to go ahead and roll these two dice here. I have a deal here. I'm going to grab my dice tray because I think it's a better view for you guys to see the dice. I have a dice mat that you see here, but it's not showing the amounts very well on here. So we're going to go ahead and... All right. So this is going to try to hit Benur. So we got a 5 and a 3. So this is the enemy. This is Benur. So fortunately, this guy's attack does not hit Benur. He tries to go in and get the stabbing blow, and he misses. Benur is able to move his head out of the way just enough to miss. Okay. Now at this point, he tries to come over, and now Benur then has nothing on him. So what he wants to do now is he wants to strike the assassin here. And he does so. 7 beats a 3. Okay, so he'll strike the assassin using his martial arts skill. And he's going to hit him for 1d6 damage, which is 3. Okay, so again, because we're back to that 1-2, he can only do that one action right now. Okay. So now at this point, the assassin, seeing the situation, he gets out, and then, so now he's going to try to, the assassin now is going to try to get out of his grip and leave the situation. And he is unsuccessful. 3 to a 14. He's not able to do so. So he's got him grabbed. Benur's got him pinned down to the ground. He's not going nowhere. And, he's pretty much trapped. He's got him pinned down. Right now, Benur wants to use this time to get some information. This guy's hurt now. He's all bloodied up, stabbed from the deal when he got hit up against the wall. Crash got knocked down. He got hit by Benur. So this guy's kind of looking messed up. Both of them are at this point. So Benur wants to try to use the little strength he has left to try to get some information. But first, we're going to roll and see if this guy has any information. I mean, he's an assassin, but it could be very well possible that he's just a guy going out to do a job. Let's see if he has any information. 76% says he does not. So this is just a crony who doesn't know anything about the situation. He's just been told to go after the dignitary and to kill them. So Benur tries to ask, where'd you come from? Why are you here? What are you doing this for? And with that said, he knows nothing now. Because of that, he looks at him and he sees this glow kind of come through his eyes. It's like an orange amber type color glow coming from his eyes. And immediately the light goes out. And as soon as that happens, you start seeing a hissing sound, and his eyes start to bubble and things like that, and his body starts to decay and deteriorate. And as quickly as he can, Benur rolls over to the side onto his back and looks down across and sees the body of the assassin sizzling away and decomposing right before his face, and leaves this nasty sulfur type smell from the decaying body here. All right. And now Baynor lies in the house, bleeding out, just hit in the right place, unfortunately for him, and hitting a vital organ, and he's now just bleeding out inside of the house, wishing, my gosh, what did I get myself into? And that's where we're going to leave the session this time. So, and we're going to end it right there. So thank you guys so much for bearing with me through this part, through this live play. I hope you guys got some understanding as far as how the rules go in Rising Legends. I hope this was kind of fun. Again, I know I'm running things theater of the mind right now, so it's a little difficult to kind of envision everything, but I hope I did it some kind of justice. As time goes on and I do more of these, I'll have miniatures and things like that. But until then, that's what we got. This is what we're dealing with. But those of you who stuck around and stayed, I really appreciate it. And I hope you guys come back next week for the next session. Again, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And with that being said, I will catch you guys next time. Deuces.